There, now, that's you. This Christmas towel is God's love. And when we get full of God's love, all right, it changes us. And it changes us because then the things that are bad that we used to desire, we're kind of pushed away. Let me rub more God's love on there. Right? Right? Let me see if that works. There, it kind of pushes us away. It pushes us away. Right? We're repelled by bad things now. Stay steady. Stay steady. Steady hand. You're not actually fishing. All right. Hold on, please. There we go. All right. So God's love repels, we're repelled by bad things now. The things that we used to desire, the things that we used to think would get us, make us happy, the things that we chase after in life, now kind of make us sick, right? They're kind of, they're not as good anymore. So it's the good things. We rub God's love on it. Make sure we're covered in God's love, right? Because now the good things, that's good. See? Those things attract us now. Right? Because God changes, God's love changes us. It changes from the inside out. So the things that we desire are better for us, right? We desire the good things. We desire the things that He desires in life. And that's how God's love changes us. Good job, you. I never thought you'd do that. All right. So this morning, as we light the candle, before I turn it over to Fred here, he's getting ready. We light the candles again for our Advent season as we think of what Jesus brings, because it's Jesus that shows us that God loves us. It's Jesus, God's Son, that gives us hope, gives us joy, gives us peace, and gives us love. And we are so close to the Christ candle, to Christmas. And I turn it over to Fred.
Good morning. If you brought your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12 will be our text today. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. I have been dealing with allergies. I take allergy meds, but when I take allergy meds, it makes my mouth dry. But if I don't take it, then I have problems sometimes with my voice because of all the drainage and things like that. So just bear with me this morning, if you will, please. We'll be concluding our Christmas series on God with us. And over the last few weeks, we said that God brings us hope. God with us brings us joy. God with us brings us peace. And today we're going to see that God with us brings love. Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 16 said this, and I want you to recite this passage with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Max Lucado, in his book, An Angel's Story, describes an imaginary conversation between God and Lucifer, the devil, just before Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And he writes this. The king walked over and reached for the book. He turned toward Lucifer and commanded, "Come, deceiver, read the name of the one who will call your bluff. Read the name of the one who will storm your gates." Satan rose slowly off his haunches. Like a wary wolf, he walked a wide circle toward the desk until he stood before the volume and he read the word. Emmanuel, he muttered to himself. And then he spoke in a tone of disbelief. God with us? For the first time, the hooded head turned squarely toward the face of the Father. No, not even you would do that. Not even you would go so far. You've never believed me, Satan, the Father said. But Emmanuel, the plan is bizarre. You don't know what it's like on earth. You don't know how dark I've made it. It's putrid. It's evil. It is mine, proclaimed the king. And I will reclaim what is mine. I am sending my son to earth to become flesh. And through him, I will feel what the people feel. I will see what they see. I will experience what they experience. But what of their sin? Satan asked. I will extend mercy, the Father replied. What of their death? I will give life. Satan stood speechless. God spoke. Emmanuel will take away the fear of those who follow him. They will no longer fear you or your hell. Satan stepped back at the thought. His retort was childish. They will too. I will take away all sin. I will take away death. Without sin and without death, you have no power. Around and around in a circle, Satan paced, clenching and unclenching his wiry fingers. And when he finally stopped, he asked, why? Why would you do this for your enemies? Why would you do this for ungodly, sinful creatures who deserve death? The Father's voice was deep and soft, because I love them. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, if I were to use only one word to describe Christmas, it would have to be love. It would have to be love. It is because of God's love for us that he sent his son, Jesus, to this earth to be born of a virgin and live among us. And it is because of God's love for us that he sent his son, Jesus, to the cross to die for us. The Apostle John writes a great deal about love. If you've read any of the Gospels in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he's often referred to as the Apostle of Love. And I think the reason that John writes a lot about love is because before Jesus came into his life, he wasn't known for his love. In fact, he and his brother James had such volatile personalities that they were known as what? The sons of thunder. But 3 years walking side by side with Jesus changed all that. So John wants us to know without a doubt that God loves us. Amen? God loves us. So I want us to begin by taking a look, number one, that love comes from God. Follow with me 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. John the Apostle of Love writes, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, John said that God is the one who introduced love into the world because God is love. So, church, brace yourself. Love was not invented by Hallmark. I mean, they may have perfected Christmas romance, you know, on your TV screen, but they weren't the ones who came up with it, okay? Neither was Shakespeare. Romeo and Juliet were not the first ones who had sacrificial love. In fact, we got to understand that love comes from God. Say that with me. Love comes from God. The love that you have for your husband or wife, God, it came from God. The love you have for your kids, God. The love you have for your brothers and sisters in Christ, once again, God. In fact, even the love you extended to your coworker when you helped him get his car out of the ditch, you know, the guy who likes to make your life miserable at work, that also came from God. I mean, there has never been a time when there was not a God, so therefore there has never been a time when there has not been love. In fact, the Bible begins with these four words in the book of Genesis: in the beginning, God. But since God is love, we could also say, in the beginning, love. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, love spun a universe across the stretches of time. Love has always existed. Even before the world was created, there was love. As Jesus prayed to the Father before going to the cross in John 17, verse 24, Jesus said, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." Even before humans were created, God's love was emanating through the Trinity. God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then out of the abundance of love, God created Adam and Eve. In fact, conferring among themselves, the Trinity, Elohim said in Genesis 3, verse 26, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." And then Paul reminds us of that very thing in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, Paul writes, "For he, God, chose us in him, Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons, as his children, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will." So you and I exist because of God's love. God's love. Even before the world was created, God knew us, and he had a plan for us by sending his son Jesus Christ to this earth to live with us and to die for us. So secondly then, I want us to see that love came down to earth. I want you to follow with me 1 John chapter 4. Keep your Bibles there. 1 John 4 verse 9. Listen to what John goes on to say. "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." God created us because he loves us and wants to have a personal relationship with us. I mean, think about that. God, the creator of this universe, creator of everything in existence, wants to have a personal relationship with you and with me. That's who our Father is. But after God created us, after God created humankind, we rebelled against him. Adam and Eve chose to listen to the enemy instead of God, in their perfect relationship with the Father who loved and cared and provided for them was completely broken. In fact, the prophet Isaiah makes it very clear in Isaiah 59, verse 2, when he says that sin separates us from God. I mean, this relationship they had with God in the garden, this perfect relationship is now broken because Adam and Eve chose to listen to Satan over God. And so now it's broken. But friends, even in our sinful, lost condition, God still loved us. He still loved us. He loved us enough to send us a Savior. The angel Gabriel appearing to Joseph in a dream in Matthew 1, 20 through 21, said this. Gabriel speaking to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name, what? Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. So Gabriel says to Joseph that Mary is going to give birth to God's son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Now, the name Jesus means the Lord saves. Jesus is God's gift of love to us to save us from the very mess that we got ourselves into. And again, in John 3, verse 16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." I mean, man, you talk about a gift of love. That God gave his one and only son for us. I mean, you know, we run all over town, going from store to store, trying to find that expensive bottle of perfume or that power tool, you know, to prove our love to someone on Christmas morning, just to show them, this is how much I love you. And it does feel good to give nice gifts to people you love. But the ones that God loves is you and me. And to prove how much he loves us, he sent his son Jesus to this earth again to live among us, and ultimately sent him to the cross to die for us. I mean, the baby lying in the manger is God's way of saying to each of us, to show you how much I love you, I'm going to give you my very best. You don't have to settle for what the world offers. Accept the gift of my love. Walk in it. Glory in it. Share it with others. You are worth to me the giving of my one and only son. That's what God did for you and me. But how does it feel? How does God feel about giving such a precious gift? How does he feel? I shared this with you before, but it does illustrate my point. When our son Stephen was 5 years old, he wanted a Ghostbuster proton pack for Christmas. This is when the Ghostbuster cartoons were just so popular at that time after the movies. And I don't think the merchants in the small town of Bowie, Texas, where we lived, really even heard of such a thing. So Brenda and I drove 55 miles from Bowie, Texas to Wichita Falls, Texas in search of this gift for Stephen. And this, of course, is before online shopping. But we went all over the city trying to find that toy. I mean, all over that city. And it was not to be found. It was sold out everywhere we went. So we went home empty-handed. And since Christmas was quickly approaching, we went ahead and bought Stephen other Ghostbuster stuff. I mean, that's what parents do. You know, still hoping that maybe this will appease him a little bit. But we knew deep down that his little heart was set on the proton pack. And that he would be deeply disappointed when everybody else got what they asked for except him. So what I did, I decided then to get on the phone. And I started calling stores all over North Texas. And this is when long distance was expensive, okay? It wasn't free back then. But I'm calling store after store after store just to find this proton pack. And finally, I found a toy store in Dallas, Texas that was, that had a few of them in stock. And I asked them, please be sure to keep these, If you would pet me back one, I appreciate it. They said, no, sir. First come, first serve. So Brenda and I got into the car and we drove over 80 miles one way to the east side of Dallas, hoping that toy would still be there. There were two left. We did a lot of traveling. spent a lot of money to find that $20 toy. But to see Stephen's face light up on Christmas morning was worth it. It was all worth it because we gave out of love. You see, that's exactly what God has done for us. He gave us His Son out of love for us. And although God made the greatest sacrifice by giving the greatest gift, the joy He feels when one humbly accepts the gift of His Son is indescribable. Over the past several weeks, we have been privileged to watch seven people within this church, seven people who opened that precious gift from God when they, through faith, put on their Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. And although God had to give up His Son to make that happen, for not only these seven, but for all of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, with each new birth, our Heavenly Father smiles with delight to see another soul unwrap the gift of life that He freely gave out of love. So love began in heaven, but it came down to earth when Jesus was born of Mary. And then finally, number three, love came down to the cross. I want you to listen to John verse 10. John said, "This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." You know, when the angel Gabriel told both Mary and Joseph that they were to give the baby boy born to Mary the name Jesus because He will save His people from their sins, little did they know or understand that that meant that their baby that they held tightly in their arms would have to die to accomplish that. They didn't realize that. This is the part of the Christmas story that we often don't emphasize. I mean, we like to hear the stories and sing the songs, you know, of angels and shepherds and wise men. We like to romanticize, you know, the story of Joseph and Mary traveling together from Nazareth to Bethlehem with Mary in the ninth month of pregnancy, riding a donkey, which the New Testament doesn't even talk about a donkey. But yet, this is what we like to say. You know, we like to tell the story of how Almighty God left heaven and entered the world in the form of a helpless tiny baby born in a manger. But then we come to the reality that the very reason that God had to send Jesus to this earth in the first place is because we were ungodly people, helplessly lost in our sins. God didn't send His Son to this earth for a vacation. He sent Him here to die on the cross. And this was His plan from the very beginning. Again, John records in Revelation 13, verse 8, he said, "Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world." I mean, out of love for you and me, God sent His Son to be our atoning sacrifice, John says. Our atoning sacrifice, which just simply means He came to die in our place so that we can be forgiven of our sins. But I want you to notice that John in 1 John 4, verse 10 emphasized that God sending His Son to the cross had nothing to do with our love for Him. Did you catch that? He says again, "This is love, not that we loved God." God sending Jesus to this earth had nothing to do with our loving Him. It was all about Him loving us. In fact, not only did we not have love for God, there was nothing about us to love. In Romans 5, verse 6, Paul said, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the what? Ungodly." That's you and me. The ungodly. And then in Romans 5, verse 8, he goes on to say that God demonstrates his love for us and that while we were still what? Sinners, Christ died for us. And then in Romans 5, verse 10, he says, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. I mean, do you not see the theme here? I mean, while we were ungodly, sinners, and enemies, God loved us enough to send his son to the cross to die for us anyway. Why? Because he, what? Loves us. He loves us. And since God loved us even when we were unlovable, how then should we respond? Well, John the Apostle of Love emphasizes how imperative it is that we, as our Father loves us, that we in turn are to love one another. Listen, let's go. Listen what he goes on to say, verses 11 and 12. He said, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. And his love is made complete in us. I mean, because of his love for us, because God loves us, we are to extend our love to others, even those who are not always lovable. Do you know people like that, by the way? Yes. Yeah, we all know people like that. In fact, sometimes we're like that, aren't we? Sometimes we're just simply unlovable. So what is this? What does this love look like that we are to have for others? Number one, we are to be a servant. We've got to be a servant. Just two Saturdays ago, several of you came here at the church to pack and deliver food boxes for people who are going through a rough time this year. I mean, with the inflated prices that we've been having to deal with over the past 4 years, you know, many have had difficulty making ends meet. And so a food basket really comes in handy. We had so many calls this year from people not members of this church. The majority of people we delivered to were not even members of this church family. So for the past several weeks, we have been asking over and over for your help. And I know that donating your money, your time, your effort, you know, during a busy Christmas season is an inconvenience and a sacrifice on your part. I know that it is. I know that it is. In fact, some of you gave toward this ministry who probably could have used a food basket yourself, if we want to be honest. And yet, there are those who still gave. But to see the smile on people's faces, and to hear their words of deep gratitude when you hand them a food box is all worth it. Amen? Did you get that from people when you delivered the boxes? Did you get, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this gift. But not only are we to be a servant, but secondly, we are to extend forgiveness. Is there someone in your life that you still have not forgiven? That's not what God wants. It's the, you know, God's gift of love is for the purpose of forgiving others. That's what it's all about. It's all about forgiveness. And he sent his son to this earth to die for us so that through him we can be forgiven as unlovable and undeserving as we are. And we, in turn, are to forgive others. Ephesians 4:32, Paul said, as God has forgiven you, so are you to forgive others. Forgiving others allows us to overcome those feelings of anger, bitterness, revenge. Forgiving others can heal spiritual wounds. Let's bring up that slide. Can hear spiritual wounds and bring us the hope, the joy, the peace, and the love that God wants us to receive through the giving of his son. We've got to forgive as God has forgiven us. I have a preacher friend. His name is Wayne Monroe. And he preaches for the Ranchland Christian Church in San Diego, California. And he shared in an article that he had written about an incident that happened to one of his deacons, who is a sales representative of a large national company. And during the Christmas season a few years ago, this deacon, whose name is Mark, was driving his boss that was new to San Diego around town. So he's got a new boss. He wants to see San Diego, so Mark is driving him around town. Festive Christmas music was playing on the radio, and his boss snapped at Mark, "Will you turn that blasted thing off, that noise off?" Mark quickly realized that his new boss wasn't too big on Christmas, you know, and really not too big on small talk, you know, either. But while driving around to different locations that the boss wanted to see, they came within a few blocks of Mark's house. And so Mark, you know, wanting to get to know his new boss better, asked if it would be all right for him to stop by his house and introduce him to his family. You know, his wife was baking Christmas cookies at the time, and his children would be coming in from school, from their last day of school before Christmas break. "Let's get one thing straight right now," the boss replied. "I'm not interested in your family. I'm not interested in your wife and children. I'm not interested in you personally or in your circumstances. All I'm interested in are results. And I'm interested in, what I'm interested about you is your sales record. That's all I'm interested in." As Mark shared this incident with Wayne, his pastor, he said, "That really hurt. I felt as though someone had just slapped me across the face." He then added, "As soon as I dropped off my boss, I turned the radio back on and the song, O Come, Emmanuel, was playing. And in that moment of being so hurt by my boss, who has no interest in me, it was reinforced once again that God not only is interested in me and my family, He wants to know me personally and came to live with us." God with us. You see, that's the good news of Christmas. God loved us enough to give us His one and only Son, and Satan could do nothing to stop it. God with us. I grew up in a church and with my family who did not celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We celebrated Christmas. I mean, we had Santa Claus, you know, I mean, all that, you know, all that good stuff, you know, and all the things about Christmas, and, you know, and it was, you know, a lot about family, you know, that it. But they did not celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, because there is a scripture in Galatians that's been often misquoted that we are not to have one day above another. And of course, what Paul is talking about, he's talking about making things legalistic. Regarding that, of what we do. And I really believe I missed out a lot. It wasn't until I was a minister that I just began to try to understand more about what was the purpose of not recognizing the birth of Jesus Christ. During what, you know, the world, they recognize the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day. Why is it that we cannot recognize the birth of Jesus Christ? And so I got up the Sunday before Christmas and preached on Christmas as the birth of Jesus Christ. There are a few people who got up and left, because that was something that they had never heard of before. And I said, you know, man, we celebrate your kids' birthdays, don't you? Isn't that one day above another? We celebrate this, we celebrate that. Why is it that we cannot celebrate the greatest event imaginable, God coming to live with us for the purpose of dying for us so we can have eternal life? Nor would they celebrate Easter as the resurrection of Christ, by the way. That's how I grew up. But man, I was, as a young preacher, I was trying to change all of that. Because every Christmas I preach about the birth of Jesus, every Easter I preach about the resurrection. And I still do. I sometimes wonder every season when it comes up, what am I going to say this year? What's going to be different this year? But really, knowing what God has done for us in sending Jesus to this earth in the form of a tiny baby to live with us, to show us what love looks like, and then to die for us, that message never gets old. It never gets old. We're going to be singing this invitation song. The invitation song, as I was telling Don, I said, listen, I'm going to be closing this sermon today with a story that my friend Wayne Monroe told me. And it's going to be talking about O come, Emmanuel. Now again, Emmanuel means what? God with us. And so what this song is, I wanted Don to lead this song today as our invitation song. And just to remember that this song says God loved you enough to come move in with you. That's what God has done for us. That's how much He loves us. If we can help you today to pray with you, if you've been wanting to be baptized today or wanting to learn more about Jesus, we want to do that as well. If we can pray with you, we want to do that. Whatever that need is, we ask you to come as together we stand and we sing.